We hear the history of our Lord's Passion taken from the Gospel according to St. Mark. After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him, Jesus, by trickery and put him to death. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people." And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, he sat at the table. A woman came, having an alabaster flask, a very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray him to them, and when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Now on the first day of Unleavened Bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us." So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. In the evening, he came with the 12. Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me." And they began to be sorrowful and say to him one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" He answered and said to them, "It is the one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for him, that for that man, if he had never been born." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. My Father, God of mercy and truth, to your mercy do I look for deliverance from my sin and my deserved death. Your mercy will I plead before your judgment seat. Your mercy will I sing all the days of my life. have mercy upon us and forgive us our transgressions. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 11, and we will be considering verses 20 through 30. I will now read verses 20 through 24. Then Jesus began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. So far, the reading of the text. In Christ Jesus, the rich man at whose eternal gates we lie as beggars in sackcloth and ashes, begging for his mercy, and he provides it most abundantly, dear fellow redeemed. There is a relief, is there not, that Jesus did not say, woe to you, residents of Mankato and North Mankato, and then comparing you with Tyre and Sidon, Sodom, even Gomorrah, calling upon you to repent in sackcloth and ashes. While the names do not seem so pointed towards us, separated as we are from that historical context of Matthew 11, we are called on, nevertheless, to repent of our many sins tonight. Sins that we're readily aware of, they come back and haunt us. Sins that nobody ever will know but us. All of our sins we are called to repent of. The garb and appearance of a beggar, sackcloth and ashes, may not be the actual physical outfit we normally wear as we gather in a house of God. However, spiritually, we are to appear in such a state, especially before our Lord and Maker, as we gather at this cherished gate of heaven. Today, February 18th, we mark two Christian days of observance: Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the penitential season of Lent, and Dr. Martin Luther's death date. When Luther died, in a pocket of his clothing there was found a piece of paper with these last words he wrote in his life. He wrote, "We are beggars. This is true." And what fitting words for a dying Christian ready to enter the gates of heaven, but also fitting words for us to consider on this first day of Lent. As we consider our text, let us ponder it, that it is how it is that we are all beggars, gratified by God's mercy and everlasting relief. We might consider those closing written words by the hand of Luther as a bookend, with the other, the first words from his Reformation, being the first of 95 theses. It reads, "When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, 'Repent,' he intended that the entire life of believers should be one of repentance. And this attitude, worked in us by the Holy Spirit, is not just at the beginning of our faith life, but permeates all the way through our entire lives as Christians to our death day." The cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum were places where Jesus lived and worked, preaching and doing his miracles, but so many refused to repent of their sin and seek from him mercy and forgiveness. They did not see themselves as beggars before God, but instead as those who offered gifts to God, gifts of their own righteousness. And as impenitent sinners, the woe for them was eternal condemnation in hell, having to answer for each and every one of their sins. They would have to answer in eternal condemnation. And they would be in greater torments than their Gentile counterparts from Tyre, Sidon, and Sodom. Consider the more tolerable phrase Jesus uses here, especially in regards to Sodom over against Capernaum. Just as Scripture teaches degrees of glory in heaven, so it teaches levels of torment in hell. We recognize the unbelievers in Sodom in Lot's day to be eternally condemned. We understand that. But those who actually met Jesus in their lifetime, heard him speak, and witnessed his miracles in Capernaum, how much more will they, as unbelievers, be kicking themselves for all eternity? They too, in unbelief, rejected God's salvation in the Christ that he sent for them, but it was so richly and clearly presented for them in this life. So are you spiritually wearing sackcloth and ashes these days as you review your many sins, or are you standing here in pride, displaying your Pharisaical phylacteries? Your Lord has drawn near to you with his many gifts in word and in sacrament. He says, "Lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age." He comes to you. He's right here among us, richly forgiving you all of your sins. But if you instead cling to your own perceived righteousness, then you too will be lost forever. It will be more tolerable in the day of judgment for the many unbelievers in such places as Tehran, New Delhi, or Salt Lake City instead of you, since Jesus came so close to you, offering you all that you need to be saved. Now, after these series of woes spoken to the people of his day, listen how Jesus continues in Matthew 11. He said, or we read, "At that time, Jesus answered and said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Like you, Luther was one of those babes in Christ to whom the Father graciously revealed his saving truths in his Son. And just as babies beg for all of their needs to be met with their pitiful cries, so do all who repent and believe in Jesus as the Savior. After experiencing chest pains at 8 in the evening on February 17th, in his 62nd year of life, Luther went to bed praying, "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God." These were the last words of Jesus before breathing his last upon the cross, bearing all of your sins, my sins, the sins of the entire human race. Even though he was named the worst sinner of all time, having all of our sin placed upon him, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Because he suffered our hell. With all of that, he knew he was accomplishing the will of the Father, and so therefore, he placed all of this into his Father's hands, trusting that indeed the price was paid. At 1 a.m., Luther awoke, still in pain, and thanked God for revealing his Son to him in whom he had believed. And then his friends asked him, "Are you ready to die, trusting in your Lord Jesus Christ and to confess the doctrine which you have taught in his name?" And Luther was clearly heard to respond, "Yeah." He uttered that very last word and then suffered what appeared to be a stroke and was unable to speak again, and he died at 2:45 in the morning. Jesus, in response to your begging cries for mercy, says to you even today, "Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls." Instead of seeking to find within yourself sufficient righteousness to be at peace with God, which is impossible, our Lord relieves you from all such senseless labor and self-imposed heavy burdens. He took the burden for you. Willingly, lovingly, completely. He forgives you all your sins. And he places his garment of holiness, his eternal righteousness upon you through faith. Truly, we are all beggars, but gratified by God's mercy and relief forevermore in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.